shall be my stay. The way that he loves is as pure as a rose, much sweeter he grows each day. His peace hovers near like a dove. I know there's a heaven above. To Jesus I cling. Life's a wonderful thing because of the way he loves. Consider the lilies. They don't toil nor spin, but there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. How deep, how wide, how vast, Father's love for us. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the same Jesus I cling. Life's a wonderful He loves. Are you ready for a wedding?
Yeah.
That is the title of my lesson today. And when we were getting ready for this retreat, right at first we thought that Natasha would have to fly out by 2 o'clock, and so she was going to have to leave right at lunch and head out. And so we had decided that I would do the last lesson. And I feel like we've worked her like crazy. She's been such a blessing coming, and we put her to work in more ways than one, as you can see, and what a blessing, right?
Yes.
She has been such a blessing, and I'm so thankful that she was able to come. And so it's been a wonderful time, hasn't it?
Yes.
I have been truly blessed. It's been so great, and I do want to say thank you to my mom, our pastor's wife, for allowing us to have this and doing the work. As you can see, the decorations, that was all her idea. And then Priscilla and Audrey came in, and they stayed here till late in the evening on Wednesday, putting it together. And I'm so thankful for that. And then for Natasha to come down and do this, taking time out of her schedule, having her little ones at home that aren't used to mom leaving. You know, thank you for doing that. And also thank you to our pastor for giving us the go-ahead to spend the money that was spent on this, you know. We thank our pastor for allowing us to have this and putting this together. And so, but most of all, we want to thank the Lord. And we thank him for allowing us to have this time that we can come together as ladies and strengthen each other in Christian fellowship. And so, with that, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the lesson, and hope to have you out of here by 2. Lord, thank you for this blessed time that we've had. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you've heaped upon us, Lord, during these 2 days. Lord, we pray that you now would, Lord, just loose my tongue, and Lord, that I would step aside, and Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would speak whatever words need to be spoken this afternoon. Lord, that it would fall upon hearts that are, Lord, soft and pliable. Lord Jesus, for your moving and for your working. Lord, help us, Lord, to get ready for the wedding, Lord, that's coming. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts. Lord, we know that you could come this very hour. Help us to be ready. Lord, help us, God. Thank you for everything that's led up, how everything is just fit together so perfectly. Lord, it's been you. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's funny because when we were talking about how this was going to come together, we kind of said, should we set a theme? Should we not set a theme? And we kind of decided, no, let's just let it organically come together and give Natasha the freedom to speak on whatever God lays on her heart. And then even to the decorations, I didn't really talk to my mom how I was putting the slide presentation together and you know, all. So God just kind of orchestrated it all and put it together. And he put on my heart this lesson. And my mom made the comment at lunch about me being more busy nowadays than I was when my older kids were growing up. And I felt like, it's true, because yesterday I felt like a little frazzled just trying to get here because we had, of all days, we had a mandatory field trip for my school to be out, which was fun. It was great. But then I had enough time to get home and try to squeeze in what I needed to get done on my work, my job. And then so I didn't get it all done. So when I was doing the movie was going on, I was back there with my computer trying to finish up my work. And so then I did work on my lesson. I was supposedly I felt sick last Saturday, but instead of resting, I took that time to put it all together. And God gave me the grace for it. And that's what I want to say is he gives the grace for whatever he brings us to. And there were so many different things running in my head as one of the leaders of the church that, you know, I wanted to present to you as ladies that, you know, we want to help you with. And Natasha just hit them all the things that I felt like God wasn't going to let me talk about in this lesson. She hit all of those. And I'm just so thankful for her allowing God to lead her and guide her. And, you know, just like she talked about earlier, it's so easy to be all in for God and then get that pride, get lifted up in pride, and then all of a sudden you get knocked down and you start having these different thoughts and, you know, you know, I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. And I feel like I was kind of getting there a little bit this summer when school got out, the discipleship class kind of ended the same time and I had the wedding to prepare for. And it was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to hit reset and I'm going to just focus on my family, this wedding and all of that. And I believe that's God was in that. Don't get me wrong. He was in that. But then, you know, it was feeling nice in July. It was like, yeah, this is kind of nice, you know. And Brother Jerry came up to me. He's like, Pam, when are you starting the disciple? We got a lot of ladies, you know, that just accepted Christ. And they need, you know, they're going to need that discipleship. When's that going to start? And in my head, I'm like, well, how about next January? No. But God right away was like, you know, you need to get it started. And praise the Lord, we started it this Tuesday night, and we had a great group of ladies show up, and I'm excited about how that's going to go. And if anyone wants to join us, it's Tuesday nights at 7. It's a 14-week course, and if you miss the first week, we'll catch up, but please join us as we start that. But my passion is serving the Lord, and my passion is getting to do these things, you know. The job's just a tool to provide and whatever, you know, God has blessed me with that right now, but that's not my passion. And, you know, my passion is being the best wife that I can be, the best mother I can be, and the best leader in this church that I can be for you ladies. Yeah, and my heart and desire is to see you guys grow. And just like my dad poured his heart out on Sunday to let you guys know, you know, he looks out and he sees. And this is going to be my lesson. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but we as leaders of the church and my mom, we see when ladies start to slip away. And it's, believe me, it's heartbreaking to see that. And we want to just grab you and pull you in and say, don't go, don't go. But we have to let the Lord lead and guide and direct in your lives. And so please, I'm just asking you right now, open your hearts to let God move and work however he wants to. Don't put me on any pedestal. This is hopefully not Pam. This is hopefully the Lord speaking to you. Just please open your hearts now and allow him to speak to you today. So the question is, are you ready for a wedding? As you can see, I have the picture up there. We had a wonderful wedding this summer at Elizabeth. She had a wonderful wedding here in April. That was April, right? Yeah. March. That was March. March. Yeah. She had a wonderful wedding in March. And we learned firsthand as a church body, you know, that weddings can be glorious. They're beautiful. They're joyful. But we also know that weddings can bring on stress, can't they? And just like Natasha, I write my lessons down verbatim so that if I get lost, I at least can go back to those. So I appreciate that you do that because that's how I can, I don't know, that's just how I do it for myself. But weddings are meant to be a glorious time of celebration. It's a time where two people have decided to unite together in an institute that God created, not this world, okay? Marriage is an institute that God created. something that is a glorious picture. It's a picture of what God plans for his church. Okay? And that's why he created marriage. So if we are saved, we are going to heaven. We should have already have established that by now. Okay? If you're not saved, then we want to make sure you get that right today. If you're baptized, that's what makes you a member of a church, all right? Now, I'm not going to go into deep doctrine about this, but in my mind, that's Pamology, I call it, I believe that we, the members of Bible Baptist Church, make up what God calls the bride, okay? The church is his bride. It is not necessarily an individual person. Sometimes we think that, but it's not. So please follow my thinking just for a moment. The church is one body, and it has many members, correct? Romans 12, 6 through 4, and you could turn there if you'd like. For as many members, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we, the church, we're instructed as a church to exhort one another. Each of us, that was something we have been asked to do. And we are to watch each other. And if someone is taken over in a fault, then you, which are spiritual, you're supposed to go and restore that one in the spirit of meekness. All right? And it says it plain and simple, Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's important, because I've actually known of people that they see someone being overtaken at fault, and they go in and they're trying to help that person, and then they get into the same sin. And how sad is that? That happened at a church we were in. Some guys tried to help another guy out of the sin of pornography, and they ended up getting in, and the guy that was helping him, he fell farther and harder than the other guy, left his family. It was just horrible what happened. And so we have God's word as a guide, as we've, you guys know that. If we can't depend on this word, then let's just go home, because there's no use of us being here. God's word is truth, and God's word can be stood upon, and God's word is the final authority. It's what we go to. So if today, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, we can't take everything from the Bible. I mean, blah, 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 you know, because that's the world we live in. You can't trust everything that's in this Bible. Well, then, like I said, let's go home, because this Bible has to be able to be trusted from beginning to the end, every word of it. And so if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual. So if you see that and you know that someone in this church family is falling and needs that support, then those who are spiritual in the church, those who have the strong, you know, relationship with the Lord, you go to that person, you help try to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Amen. So it's important that we, the body, we as the bride of Christ, we should make sure that this church is a pleasing church, that this church is the bride that is going to be pleasing to the Lord when he comes. Okay? The point I want to make is that just as a bride should want to be prepared for that special day, we as a church, who is the bride, should be preparing for the special day that we have coming. What would it say to a groom if the bride didn't care about the wedding day? She didn't prepare herself. She didn't get it all ready. She didn't do the things that she needed to do. She didn't watch her appearance. She got up that day and went however she wanted to when it was time for the wedding. And isn't that the picture some of us are getting to the Lord even today? If he came today, what kind of bride would this church be? Where are we in preparation for the wedding that we have coming up? And so we want to be a church that is exhorting one another in love and good works. Hebrews 10:24 says, and it's funny, you know, Natasha was in Hebrews 11 and 12, and today I'm going to be in Hebrews 10. So we're kind of going backwards in the Hebrews, and I believe God meant everything to happen that way. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So she was talking about, as you move on in Hebrews, you see it was talking about the those of faith and what they went through, how they were sawn asunder, and all the horrible things that they went through for their faith. And so the chapter now that we're in, it's an exhortation for us to get ready, to be prepared for the wedding that we have. So this family of Christ, we have the privilege of enjoying a truly family-type feel in this church. Hopefully when you're here, you feel like you're with family. And we want to work together in unity, and we want to be preparing for that special day that Jesus will come and take us to that wedding. Amen. I'm excited. I can't wait. But as I was studying this, I was thinking, you know, it doesn't matter if it's just one person in this church. We've got to all get excited. We have a wedding we're preparing. We are all the bride, all of us together. And so if you didn't know, the Jewish custom was to enter into an engagement, and the groom would go back to his father's house, and he would prepare a place for the bride. And not until the father said it was ready, he would be able to go back to get his bride. So the son would wait for the father to say, okay, yes, everything's ready. Now you can go get the bride. The bride would stay and continue to prepare herself for the wedding day. She had to be ready at any time, because according to Jewish Galilean weddings, she did not know the day or the hour the groom would come. And I'm sure that there were days that she would get distraught, anxious, and even doubtful that the wedding day would even happen. She had to keep her mind and thoughts focused on the wedding day. She could not let herself take the place. She could not let anything take the place of what she was preparing for. How did she do that? And that's where I believe God's been leading us to this point. Just like the movie we watched and Natasha talked about, it's in the mind. She had to have the mind of Christ. She had to be thinking about thoughts that were going to get her there. Because just like in the race the girl was in, she had to have someone whispering in her ear, and I'll get to that in a minute, but that's what motivated her. That's what kept her going. And we have that person. If you're in the Word, you have the Lord Jesus Christ walking with you day by day, and he's speaking to you, and he's telling you, keep going. You got a hill coming up here. You know, get ready for it. Give it your all. Push through it. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior and we get baptized, it's like putting on the wedding ring or the engagement ring. At that moment, we should begin getting ready for an upcoming wedding. But a lot of people, I like to call it the golden ticket. They've accepted Christ as their Savior, and they act like it's a golden ticket. Okay, I'm going to heaven, put it in my pocket, done with that part of my life, now it's time to live for me. And how sad. How sad. What if a bride did that to her groom? Oh, thanks for the ring. Now I'm going to go out and live however I want. You know, do whatever I want, trample on you, cheat on you, do whatever, and then, yeah, I'll show up at the wedding, and, you know, who cares all the preparation you've done for me, you know, because this is my life. You don't get to tell me what to do with it. We tell that to God by the way we live. And so here in America, you know, I had this talk with Mackenzie and my other children. When you accept an engagement, you're basically married to that person in God's eyes until, you know, you don't consummate it until after the wedding ceremony. But it's not for you to just suddenly, oh, yeah, I told you I loved you and I told you I'll marry you, but, you know, I'm not feeling like that today. You know, no, you should have gotten all that worked out before you accepted the engagement, right? Now it's time to prepare. It's time to get ready, put all the things intact for that wedding day and get that wedding day. Get to that wedding day, and then, of course, you consummate that marriage. But like in the Bible, how Joseph was betrothed to Mary, and when he found out she was with child, he was willing to put her away privately because he could have gone before and said, she's pregnant. Let's stone her. That was Jewish custom. That was the law. And that could have taken place. But the angels, of course, spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him not to do that. And he trusted enough to proceed forward. And so we take all of the things that God set in order, we take them so flippantly, especially here in America. We take wedding, marriage, engagement, all so flippantly. But it was meant to be taken seriously. And in the Bible, there's seven churches mentioned in Revelation. And we just went through Revelation as a church. And we know that there's the church of Laodicea. And that's the church. That's the worst church of all of them. There's nothing good the Lord could say about the church of Laodicea. And let's read some of that. Revelation 3, starting in verse 14, if you want to turn there. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so that then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. We all have, we've heard many messages and many ways that we should be living. But I think that what we need is something that helps us on that mission. A practical thing that can help us day to day remember those things. And what the bride has is she keeps her mind stayed on that wedding. She is so excited about that wedding. She can't wait for that wedding day. And so the days leading up, it's okay, the different ups and downs, because she has her eyes on that wedding, right? But so many of us, we don't have our eyes on that wedding. So many of us, we're like the church in Revelation. We're neither cold nor hot. We're just lukewarm. We sit in the services. Sometimes we might even go up and we might respond to the invitation, but then we go back into our lives and we listen to whatever we want to listen to. We watch whatever we want to watch. We fill our minds with whatever. And we don't keep our minds stayed upon what's coming, the wedding day. We don't have our minds focused on that. We have our minds all over the place. And so take a look at the picture. The next one. The little dot right here is a picture of your life, okay? Now, James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And when I look at that picture, that life, that's your whole life. Whether you live 2 days or 99 days, that's your life. That's how long it is. It's not going to get bigger than that. It's just a tiny speck on this whole spectrum of what we call time. And so your life, my life, is just, it's a vapor. So if we are a vapor, then every day and every hour and every minute is important. But as humans, we tend to look at our lives like we have eternity on this earth. And we live like we want. One day we might start caring about living for the Lord, that But right now, we live how we want. Even those that, who think they're strong Christians, we still live like we want. We don't live each day, oh, is it today, is it today? We don't, the majority of Christians don't live as if that wedding is happening. And like, oh, dear God, please let it be today. There's so many other things that we find to occupy our minds. And so recently, I was at a training for my job. And the guest speaker that came, you know, he was a powerful, motivating speaker who, you know, was supposed to motivate us to have what he called touchdown days as teachers. And we want to have winning days. And he proceeded with just how we can have winning days. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know what he's saying? It sounds good. I want to have winning days, you know. I want each day to be a winning day. And I was like, Lord, show me as a Christian how to motivate the ladies of our church. Show me as a Christian how to be like this motivational speaker who can come in to a whole secular group of teachers and, you know, motivate us to have touchdown days. Because I know your word is what we need. And when I thought about what he was saying, it was like, well, duh, it's right in the Bible. He's taking a biblical truth and he's presenting it like, you know, as some secular truth. And that's what a lot of secular stuff is. They've taken part of the Bible and then they've created their own, oh, look at me, come watch me, I have this motivational thing to share with you. And it's right from the Bible if you get into the Bible and find out and study for yourself. And so the advice that he gave us was this formula. Our thoughts affect our emotions. Our emotions affect our actions. And then I added this, and our actions affect other people. So the Bible tells us how powerful our thoughts are. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. Years ago, I was at a basketball camp when I was a teenager, and they drilled that in our head. As you think, so you become. If you think you're good at basketball, you'll probably eventually become good at basketball. And they try to drill that in our head. Well, that's also a biblical thought, but here's the problem with some of that. The world takes that and they say, yeah, that's right. We gotta push people to think positive thoughts, positive vibes. Bring on the positive thinking, positive vibes. And don't get me wrong, yes, they need to be positive, but they need to be in the light of Jesus Christ is the only thing that makes it positive. In us, that's our righteousness is like filthy rags. So the good that's in me compared to what I'm supposed to think about myself is like filthy rags. But when I bring God into my life and I say, God, with you, yes, I am a good person through you. With you, I can have the thoughts that we're going to look at in Philippians 4:8. And we should put this in our prayer list. This should be a checklist of things that we ask God to put in our minds, because our minds are dictating more than what we want to admit. Okay? As ladies especially. And men are there. They don't talk about their thoughts as much, but they're there. Okay? But as ladies, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So there's your checklist. Those are the things that bride should be looking forward to for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if something falls outside of that checklist, he gives us such simplicity. Just like salvation is simple, the Christian life is not. It's not complex. We make it complex, but God makes it simple. So you say, well, but you don't know my circumstance. You don't know this is going on. You don't know that. Okay, maybe I don't, but God does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same God that said he would be with you always.
Yes.
He's the same God that searches to and fro.
Yeah.
And he wants to find you being faithful.
Yeah.
So there's when, this is not in my notes, but as an added bonus, when things come up in my life, even as a teenager, I would think, okay, God, either this is a punishment from you for something I am not doing right, or this is a trial that you want to show me something. And I can't say I've always been learning, because there's been trials I had to repeat and repeat and repeat until I figured, oh, okay, this is what he's trying to teach me. But don't pretend with God that he doesn't know what's going on in each of your individual lives.
Right.
And don't pretend like, well, this is just happenstance. Nothing is happenstance. Everything in our life is there either to prove us or to rebuke us. And we need to fall into those areas. And sometimes it may be a little of both. And my husband can get frustrated with me sometimes, because I'll be like, okay, what are we doing? Why is this happening? What are we doing wrong? You know? And sometimes it's not always that way, but he laughs at me. He's like, doesn't mean we're always doing something wrong. But I think that way. And, you know, that's how God can speak to us. He can bring up things, you know, in a situation that helps us to learn. And some situations, he's trying to help the whole group. You're going through something, and there's something in each of your lives, and he's using that one situation to help a bunch of people learn a bunch of things. I remember with Hayden and his surgery, I know God dealt with a lot of us on different things for that one trial in our life. And so don't let those things pass by as happenstance. Make sure you're looking at what's going on. And you talk to the Lord, and you don't get bitter, and you don't start getting angry at God, of all people. Why would you get angry at God? Go to God and say, Lord, I don't understand it. You can say, I don't understand this. This is hard. But be real with him and say, help me. Show me what you want me to see in this. So our thought life is key. We have to focus on what we are thinking. Stinking thinking produces stinking behavior. Keeping your thought life in check is a full-time job. And let me tell you, when you're sitting in the car, actually you're out in the public and they're playing some music is so powerful, because I've been somewhere and my mind will be, it'll go immediately to something that's sinful, and I'm like, why did that just pop? And then I realize there's a song playing that maybe I was listening to sometime in my life, and that's why that thought came into my life. So thoughts are powerful, and music and other things can be used to trigger those. And the devil is going to use anything and everything he can. And so be very careful. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. The heart is the thought process of your life. And so you need to guard it. And so maybe you're just scrolling through social media. And that was one of the things God spoke to my heart about, like Natasha getting rid of her baking shows. I just had to get rid of social media. You know, it just wasn't edifying to me. It wasn't uplifting to me. It was stressful to me. It caused me to get upset about different things. And it was just like, why? I don't need this. And God just said, get off of it. You don't need it. And so there's other things that maybe God's dealing with you. And music, another thing, you know, you're taking a trip, you think, oh, you know, what's the harm in listening to this music or that music? The harm is you're affecting your thoughts. And those affect your emotions, and then that affects your actions, okay, which also affects other people. And so, and especially, let me just put in a plug, those of you that like the country music, I mean, you know, those things, they get you to start thinking, you know, well, I don't have the right relationship with my husband, or I wish I had this relationship. I mean, recognize those things, those tools the devil's using in your life, and get them out of your life. All right? And so the thoughts that are biblical, we tell ourselves what God wants us to hear. We think about positive things that God has put in our life. It's not positive thinking the world. That there's this whole new thing now, you know, be kind to yourself, be this, you know. Yes, you need to be kind to yourself, but it's like through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be that person that supports you and uplifts you. Don't be that person that's like, well, I can't do this or that because, you know, I'm just too busy and I have to pamper myself. I haven't had a me day in a while. And let God tell you when that day is going to come, and then it's going to be, you know, full of what he wants to have you in it. And let me tell you also, he can uplift you and strengthen you through these chaotic days.
Yeah.
When you're leaning on him and you have all this stuff going on, yeah, and you feel like, I don't even have the time to do all this. Yeah. I don't even have time to put gas in my vehicle. I texted my husband last night. I don't think I have enough gas to go take people home. And so he came down here and filled up my van while we were in the service. That's the great husband I have. And so God will do things for you if you just let him know where all the time. God, this is what's going on. That's what he talks about, being instant in prayer, being constantly in prayer, talking to him all throughout the day, every day, letting him know what your thoughts are, and help me with my thoughts. Help, take away all this negativity that I have. So back to the wedding. If we as a church change our thought life to Philippians 4:8, it would motivate us all to be ready for that, to be that bride that has adorned herself and made herself ready. Don't have the thought life like this world, my life, my choice. No, we are a body, and what we do does affect the body of Christ. Do you want to be that spot on that wedding dress because you were that member that didn't care about how you lived your life when we're presented to the groom as a church body? If we the church, what we do as a church, we're the bride, and if it matters, then each of us, each part of this church, every person is part of the body of Christ, and what you do matters how we present ourselves as the bride to Christ. And so he knows our every thought. We're not free moral agents. Just like Natasha talked about, we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Okay? And so we don't get to live every day for ourselves. That ended when you accepted Christ as your Savior. It wasn't a golden ticket that you just get to stick in your pocket and live the life you want to live. You are now bought with a price. And so when we get to heaven, and everything we've done is brought to the Bema Seat on display for everyone to see, and what we have done for Christ is the only thing that's going to last, what's going to be there? Now, humor me just for a minute. Once again, we'll get back. This is Pamology, but in my thinking, if the groom is going to prepare a place for the bride, okay, and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, what if, now I'm just saying, what if that mansion that's prepared is for the bride of each bride, body of Christ, each body of Christ has a mansion that we all live in together. What if? I'm not saying that's true, but what if? What if those of us in this room, the body of Christ, the Bible Baptist Church bride, if you would say, if we all live in the same mansion up in heaven? Because in my logical thinking, okay, I'm logical, so I'm thinking, well, I don't want a mansion all by myself. I want somebody in that mansion with me. I mean, now some of you are like, no, I want one by myself. Now, when we get there, I don't know. God has it all planned out. He's preparing the place. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. So just work with me on this one. But what if? And what if everything that was put on that Bema Seat was burned up, and everything that lasted is what, you know, would go in that mansion to decorate that mansion? How decorated would our mansion be? Okay, what if? That's just, it's just a what if, okay? And please don't go to Pastor tomorrow and say, hey, you should hear the new Doctrine Pant. That's just the PMology, okay? My thinking, all right? But anyhow, some of you are saying, okay, yes, PM, okay, we know Christ is coming, we know we have to be ready, but my goodness, you know, they've been saying that. I'm this and this amount of age, and I've been hearing this. I'm tired of waiting. That's because your thought life isn't where it should be. Titus 2, 12 through 14 says, teaching us. Please turn there if you can. Titus 2, 12 through 14. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in what? In this present world. Sorry, I didn't give you time to get there. Titus 2, 12 through 14. We should do that in this present world. When that was written, it was written for every generation that would read that. So that's for this generation, in this present world. He knew how wicked this world would be. He knew how vile it would be. He knew how hard it would be to live in this present world, what? Soberly, righteously, and godly. And then what does it say? What are we to be doing? Looking. Opening that window. Oh, is it today? Looking like the Jewish bride of Galilee who didn't know when her groom was coming, and every day she'd be looking for him, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. So the next question, why are you not excited? Why? Ask yourself, well, okay, Pam, I get it, but why am I not excited? If we don't know our bridegroom, then we can't get excited. That's right. If a bride was getting married, but she didn't really know the groom she was marrying, it's hard for her to get excited.
That's right.
And if you're not excited about the Lord Jesus coming, it's because you don't know the bridegroom.
Amen.
He's coming, and I love him, and every day I can't wait till I can bow down at his feet and kiss his feet and say, thank you, Lord, for getting me here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And you, if you don't have that feeling, it's because you don't know him. You haven't studied him enough. You haven't gone to him enough. And if you have that kind of relationship, you're going to be wanting for him to come. And you're going to be looking and you're going to be praying. Just like in the book of Song of Solomon, when she was looking for her bride to come, or her groom to come. And you can see how much she wanted him there. And so our thought should be to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Did you hear that? Your homework is to go back and see how many times we're told to watch and pray.
Yes.
Look that up. How many times? But I'll give you one. 1 Peter 4, 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Revelations 22, 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And so we heard about our rewards last night from Natasha. Let's read Matthew 24, 42, and I'm almost done. Please turn to Matthew 24, 42 through 51. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch their thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's not the unsaved. That's saved people. There's going to be a time when you're going to realize you messed up. I hope it's not this group of ladies. Because praise God, he is the God who is the God of second, third, and fourth. If you choose today and you've messed up your whole life, but you chose, okay, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to live for you now. I've messed up. There's the parable of how they came in the last hour and they got paid as long as the people who were working all day long. That's how gracious God is to us. But don't be that unwise servant who says, yeah, I got tired of waiting. You know, a couple years ago we thought the Lord's coming. There were people predicting it's got to be 2020 or whatever. And we got prepared and we got ready. What if those of us who were prepared and ready, now we're like, well, it didn't happen. I give up. I'm not going to watch anymore. No. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his way. He has an appointed time, and he will come when he is ready. Amen. And he's so gracious. There's some people in this room that maybe weren't around then. Maybe they got saved after that. Think about those people. Think about the people who maybe got their heart right last year. And he's given them a chance. So we don't know why he delays his coming. But we do know he's coming. Don't be that unwise servant. And so, Hebrews 10, and this will wrap it up. This is where I wanted to go at the very last. Starting in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Don't waver. Be strong. And we hear these words a lot, and I believe some of you even in this room are like, oh, please don't say that verse again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Some people get that. Okay, you get that way, but let's read it, okay? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We do see the day approaching, but Jesus hasn't come yet, has he?
Right.
And 2 years ago you could say, yeah, you said that, Pam, but he hasn't come yet. Well, guess what? He's still coming.
Amen.
And we got to keep pushing each other. We got to keep exhorting one another. And we can't give up. Okay? But keep reading. Watch this. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Read the book of the Old Testament. Those people, when they stepped out of line, they were killed. Like, it's done deal. There was no mercy. They were brought before two or three witnesses, and bam, you're dead. Okay, we live in the age of grace, so we don't even know. But listen, this is for us in verse 29. Of how much sore punishment. It's a question. How much sore punishment? Suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Wow. We need to wake up. Now, I'm not saying, yes, we're all sinners. We're all going to daily struggle with sin. I'm talking about saying, forget all this life. I'm going to the world, and I'm going to live in the world. That's where I want to live. I want to live my life for the world. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And then verse 31, this should wake everyone up. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Now, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. He wants to keep us. He wants to protect us. But when his children fall out of his will and they want to run to the world and trample over the blood of Christ, that of what he did for us, and we run right back to the world and start doing all the things he saved us out of, it's a fearful thing for you to fall into the hands of that living God. So, how do we get in good standing before the Lord? We get our thought life ready. We want our thought life to be like that bride, looking for and hastening to that day. Each day, oh Lord, help it be today, but if it's not, help me to live this day for you. Help my thought life to be what it needs to be. Okay, so we are the bride. We should be watching and preparing for our groom. How do we begin? We begin with our thinking. Just like in that movie where her dad was whispering in her ears, let the Holy Spirit, who wants to whisper in your ear on a daily basis, but we snuff the Holy Spirit out sometimes. That dad who was sitting, he knew the race that she was running. He knew every hill that she was coming to. Our Heavenly Father knows every hill we're coming to, every trial that's coming in our way. And when they come, if we would pause and say, Lord, this is hard, but help me to run harder. Help me to be in this race, like we heard about. Help me to get all the weights that are so easily besetting me. Help me to get them off. So let's get the formula right. Our thoughts, they affect our emotions. And emotions lie to us. That's why you got to get your thoughts right. And then our emotions affect our actions. And then our actions will affect people. How do you want to affect people? Positively for the Lord or negatively for Satan? I want you to turn to page 413 as Natasha comes. And I want to read the words before we sing it. Okay. 4:13, fill my cup, Lord. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. How many in this room, you're looking at those things? And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. So, my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Some of you have a craving for this world because you've allowed it to become an addiction. And you're craving things this world has, and you don't think you can let loose of it. As we sing this, if you need to come forward and you want to put some things at the altar today, then please feel free. But let's sing the song now.